Welcome to Depollution, the podcast from SalvageWire. In this podcast, we interview interesting and inspiring leaders to discuss issues that are facing the vehicle salvage and the vehicle recycling industries, along with other leaders who can challenge and inspire the whole industry. In this episode, we welcome Roger West from the British Vehicle Salvage Federation. Roger is due to retire at the end of this year, and it is a delight to have him on the podcast for the second time and to discuss his career, what he has done, and also his hopes and dreams for the future. You can find out more about the British Vehicle Salvage Federation in the show notes. Let's get on with the podcast. Roger, this is your second visit to the Depollution podcast, so welcome back. For any listener who doesn't know you, could you give a summary of your career to date and where you are now?
Okie doke, yes. Well, okay, my career within the motor-related industry started in 1972 or thereabouts at a Ford main dealer, and I rose through the ranks through supervisory positions to the assistant to the manager at the Associated Body Shop. It was there that I met one Frank Townsend, who was the Southeast Field Engineer for Provincial Insurance. He advised that his retirement was imminent, so suggested that I apply for his post. This I did, and subsequently in August 1987, I joined the field engineering team for Provincial. I was soon elevated to senior engineer. There I stayed, inspecting some 1,500 vehicles per year, whilst the company changed around me, first becoming UAP Provincial, then GRE Provincial, and finally AXA. As the century turned, a big shake-up took place and a number of field engineering manager roles were created. It was again suggested that I applied for one of these roles and was again successful. I ran a team of engineers that controlled the south and southeast of England, from the Wash, through the south and east of southeast of London, and down through Kent and part of Sussex. This continued for a few years, but again the shake-up produced change. I was by this time nearly 50, and rather than be moved to Bolton, I accepted redundancy stroke early retirement. I then worked briefly for a non-OE parts company, which was a good insight into the very variable quality of these parts. A friend of mine who owned a Peugeot dealership asked me if I could help him out for a few months running his service department, which actually lasted 3 years before Peugeot removed the franchise due to the company's position right next to a London-bound railway station. Couldn't be any better, really, could it? Coincidentally, I was contacted this time by one Alan Greenough, who was then the Secretary General of the BBSF and whose retirement was again imminent. This was in 2010. I was accepted for the post, which now brings us up to date, a potted history of the working me.
Wow, that is amazing. And I didn't realise that, you'd gone, between BVSF and AXA, that you'd gone back into the trade almost.
Oh, yes. I mean, I think they call it poached. I was poached by a company based in Park Royal. Mm. They found out that I'd basically been made redundant and I was on garden leave. Yeah. And they asked me if I'd be interested in trying to help them out with their non-OE parts schemes, which I did. Mm. But unfortunately, it became very clear that they were just after me for my knowledge from the insurance industry. Yeah. And as soon as they'd milked me of that, I was told I could leave.
Yeah, surplus to requirements. Yeah. Been there, done that. So you've been running the BVSF now since 2010. What can you highlight as some of your biggest successes in that time?
Okay, well, there's quite a few that I like to think are big successes. Right at the very start, almost immediately, I was faced with the task of arranging Certificate of Technical Competency Training, or COTC as it's like to be known, which in my opinion was an ill-conceived moneymaker and still, after all these years, lines the pockets of others with its ridiculous timescales and demands. Then there was the Vehicle Identity Check, or VIC scheme. Again, totally ill-conceived and not worth the paper it was written on. Did nothing for the industry or the general public, and again, cost a load of money. It was eventually agreed after many meetings and discussions that this scheme would be stopped and removed, but even as recently as last year, the son or daughter of VIC was being discussed. The Scrap Metal Dealers Act reared its ugly head, and its original expected format would have been a nightmare for salvage dealers and dismantlers. And this was subsequently discussed and changed at a very high level, as its conception almost amalgamated the scrap metal industry with salvage buyer stroke dismantlers and clearly that had to be stopped. Then, of course, comes the Salvage Code of Practice, a document with no real teeth, which almost invites the ability to commercially categorise vehicles for monetary gain. This non-legislative gentleman's agreement really needs teeth to work, and I hope that one day a legislative document will be written to prevent commercial categorisation once and for all. The second code of practice, produced in 2019, initially was deemed as not suitable for the Federation to sign up to until final changes were made, and it is this document that is now under discussion for changes which will last well into my retirement. There were, of course, many successes, but these are some of the ones that potentially would have been most damaging to our industry.
Wow. It's amazing when you go through that list and there's some stuff in there that I sort of think, I remember those and I remember the problems that they caused and the issues that they had. But you're absolutely right. I mean, the VIC scheme definitely was not fit for purpose at all. And I remember that very, very clearly.
It was interesting, actually, Andy, because I had a Cat C vehicle at the time that my daughter was using for university, and I had to take that for a VIC check. Mm. Obviously, I'm not going to say where it went or what car it was, but 3 minutes after I was there, the chap came out and said to me, he said, "Do you know where the stamped chassis number is, please? Because we don't."
Oh, that is appalling. That really is appalling. Oh, dear. Yeah. It sums it up, doesn't it? It summed up the VIC scheme. Yeah, very much so. Very much so. Oh, dear. So we're heading now towards a zero emission future. And somebody, I remember hearing somebody talk a couple of weeks ago saying, this isn't a problem. Climate change isn't a problem for our kids. It's a problem for us now. So how do you see the salvage marketplace evolving in the future? What's going to be the biggest challenge in your successor is going to face?
This was one of the questions that I've been thinking about for a long while, and I still struggle with the answer. Yeah. I believe my successor will have major problems with zero emission vehicles, not least of which is the terrifying fire risk that we see on the news. We're then told about hydrogen vehicles. Well, I think we've all seen the newscast from the 1930s about the Hindenburg. You know, it's absolutely terrifying. Referring back to the salvage code, one of the changes I have asked for is a specific section in the code relating to electric vehicles to try to improve safety, perhaps even their own salvage category. So in answer to your question, safety, in my opinion, will be the biggest challenge with all that goes with it.
Okay, so, I mean, as you know, I do a lot of work with electric and hybrid vehicles, and there is a lot of noise at the moment about the fire risk from batteries. But statistically, they are less likely to catch fire than conventional vehicles. It's just the fact that as an industry, we're dealing with flood-damaged, accident-damaged vehicles, which, could catch fire. But how important, just as an aside, how important do you think training would be around these vehicles for the industry?
It's vital with a capital V. People should not be allowed to touch these things unless they know exactly what they're about. We are going to have deaths if we haven't already and not heard about it. Mm-hmm. I think they're absolutely terrifying vehicles. And this was compounded by a comment made by someone in Thatcham recently saying that the insurers are now increasing premiums on these electric vehicles. And there was even talk of them becoming uninsurable. The insurance companies have realized there's a problem, then surely the public should be told about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. Completely agree. Yeah. Okay. All right. One of the comments people say this to me, one of the comments I turn around and say is, okay, hypothetically, we've had 120 years of electric cars. I've got a good idea. Let's put a tank of flammable liquid underneath the back seat, the seat we put our kids on. Let's pipe it to the front of the vehicle, inject it into a cylinder at high pressure, compress and explode it multiple times a second. Now put your health and safety hat on that one. And to a certain extent, with petrol and diesel, we've been working with it for 120 years. We know, we understand it. and this is new. You know, as we learn more, it's going to get easier, it's going to get better.
Well, I hope you're right, Andy.
So do I. Okay. So as you head towards retirement, is there one thing that the UK government can do that would have the biggest benefit to the salvage industry?
Well, quite controversial, I accept. But in my opinion, allow the salvage code to become legislative. Yeah. And that, in my opinion, would go somewhat to fix commercial categorisation, which so easily puts the general public at risk. Mm-hmm. I also believe, if I'm allowed a second string to this bow, that the Environment Agency should be given sufficient money to employ the correct number of qualified staff to rid the world of illegal operators.
Yeah, absolutely.
They should be stopped from taking the easy way out.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I completely agree with both of those. You know, it's fascinating when you look at what's going on in the industry, particularly around the world. You know, we understand the UK, but you look around the world and we've got the new ELV discussion happening in Europe and lots of changes around batteries and battery directives and so on and so forth. And the last conference I was at, they openly said that, you know, they need to tighten up the regulations to stop vehicles, you know, leaving the EU illegally or as outside of the regulations. And they spoke about all this stuff and all tightening up all these regulations. There was nothing, absolutely nothing said about enforcement. And the regulations are great. Legislation is fantastic, but if it's not enforced, it's worth exactly. the paper it's printed on.
No, absolutely agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's and that bit about the Environment Agency, you know, giving them the resources to do their job and to eradicate the illegals, completely agree. That is absolutely, absolutely essential. So, completely agree. You mentioned in your career earlier, you know, coming up through the trade and then joining Provincial, which then became AXA, and then obviously a little bit of work between that and BVSF. Is there any one person or any, you know, few people that have been a major influence on your career, and what did they do for you?
Okay, well, I would like to have chosen two, but I accept mm-hmm. your suggestion of one, and I would have to put my father at the top mm-hmm. of the list.
Yeah.
Dad worked at what was then called the Accident Officers Association and was the person who I believe created the first group rating scheme 1-7. He also had an awful lot to do with Thatcham, and mm-hmm. I first saw Thatcham when it was a muddy hole in the ground. Dad taught me right from wrong, as I'm sure many dads do, but he went one stage further and showed me how this worked. He always said, you can do anything if you put your mind to it. Do any job well, and the work will be recognised, and you will be challenged again with the next job. And this is how I've done it all my life.
Wow.
His interest in the motor industry, driving de-identified cars of umpteen types and analysing their ability and repair prospect, gave me a fantastic insight into the car industry. One night in particular, Dad drove home in a Bond Bug from the middle of London, and to see a middle-aged man suited and booted getting out of that little orange car was an image I shall never forget.
Love it. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And, you know, anybody listening to this podcast, just pause, go back a minute and replay that last section, because there is so much wisdom in that last section, in that last bit. Replay it and learn it, because it is so valuable. So much wisdom there. Absolutely amazing. Aren't dads brilliant?
Mine is, and still is, at 93.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So you're now heading towards retirement. You're heading towards a time of relaxing, enjoying the garden, enjoying family, and everything else that goes with it. What words of advice would you give to the industry, to your friends, your colleagues, and even your competitors as you head towards retirement?
I think for me personally, this one is the easiest to answer. Keep a very watchful eye on your health as your life progresses and you get older. I didn't. And a medical issue sneaked up on me, and it wasn't until it had got a good hold that I realised, along with others, there was a problem. I intended to continue doing my job I love for many years to come, and I'm now not far short of 70 years old, and this has effectively been taken away from me. Had it been caught earlier, my dream of working on may have become a reality. So remember, no matter what you think, you are not indestructible.
Wow. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. That is, again, you know, goes back to a friend of mine years ago. He said to me, he said, you know, you run a car. I said, yeah. He said, you know, you check the tires, you check the oil, you service it. I said, yeah. He said, why don't you do the same to your body? You know, get it checked out, you know, do what you need to keep it running properly. And I sort of went, yeah, not sure about that. But the more you think about it, the more he was absolutely right. And you've just reinforced that.
Yeah, I mean, I've suffered now for my own stupidity, if you like. I thought there was a problem a little while back, but I just continued working and didn't take any notice. And it wasn't until a family member said, "Rog, are you really all right?" And that's when I went to get checked. And of course, I wasn't.
Yeah. Wow. Brings it into perspective.
It does.
Brings life into perspective. So that's absolutely amazing. Amazing.
We have a message for Roger.
Olivia, green card pollution. Hi, Roger. Thanks for keeping us well informed and all your support over the years. We wish you well in your retirement and hope you have a lovely time. Thank you.
Roger, it has been a pleasure to know you and to work with you for, you know, the last 13 years as you've run BVSF. What you've brought to the industry, your common sense, the knowledge, the expertise that you've brought has been absolutely amazing. And thank you for what you've done. You know, it's been a great journey, and I know, you know, you're going to be involved. You know, as you retire, you're still going to be involved. You're going to do a little bit more work on the code of practice, and I know that you'll be there for, you know, to support and help and advise as you need. But for me, and I'm certain I talk for the rest of the industry here, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for your commitment. Thank you for everything, and I wish you a very, very happy retirement.
Andy, you're a gentleman. Thanks very much indeed. Very kind words. Makes me feel quite humbled, actually. But believe me, I have enjoyed every second of it.
Yeah, it's been great fun. So thank you.
No problem at all.
A very big thank you to Roger for his time, his knowledge, and what he has done for this industry over many, many years. You'll find more details about the British Vehicle Salvage Federation in the show notes. Please subscribe, take the time to like and share this podcast with your friends and colleagues, and please give us a rating, and we will see you on the next podcast. Thank you.